Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now Dana, the last couple weeks, really couple months, have been a pretty good environment for investors. You even made the comment pretty much right around election time that the models you're looking at and the general setup of the markets, you were positioning your funds pretty much all in. And really, ever since the election, I've heard comments from you and other people that this has been the best market environment that some people have seen ever, quite frankly. And that just deals with a wide range of sectors continuing to move higher, a lot of liquidity in the market, and just a broad melt up, really, in stocks and sectors across the board. Give us some of your insights in this market environment ever since the election, where it has been pretty good for investors as long as you have been in the market.
Yeah, that's right, Corey. Well, we've talked about before how our models, which have been positive since early April, they were looking dicey in September and that little mini correction we had. But starting early, the first half of October, we saw kind of a resurgence in the market breadth and in the areas, the segments of participation in the equity market that started moving higher. And that was kind of a key moment for us in kind of resetting the market breadth of our internals and resetting the foundation for that next leg up in the market. And the latter half of October was really a gift in that we saw that sell-off, uptick in volatility expectations leading up, which we thought was just due to the election. And as it turned out, it was. But the pullback in stocks right around election time gave you just, a world-class buying opportunity. That's when we went basically all in on risk assets. And since then, it's been pretty much straight up. And as you alluded to, it's not just the things that were working at the time, which, you know, initially it was, you know, large caps and tech and healthcare and some of that. But then you saw other sectors and segments starting to participate, starting with small and mid-cap growth stocks broke out. Then you've had, the biotech and the semis have been like rock stars. But then you had new groups like the banking and energy stocks, some of the laggards for a long time started to work. And then just recently, we've had some of the value areas of the market, small cap value, mid cap value breakout. So it's been a bevy of international markets. So it's been not only a good rally, it's been a constant rotation in things that are working. So like you said, I wrote it in a newsletter this weekend. This is the single best trading environment I've ever seen in my career. And that's going back about 25 years. But my father's been in the business since 1969. He says it's the best trading environment he's ever seen in his career. So it's been very opportunistic. And perhaps, as you alluded to, perhaps the best characteristic of it is when things, when some of our holdings have become extended, hitting key mathematical targets, and we'll take some profits, it's been a nonstop rotation of other areas of the market setting up for breakouts and leadership roles too. So it's been a nice rotation for us, taking profits, rolling it into new areas of the market, and those have been invariably all working so far. I don't expect this environment to continue forever, obviously, but when you get this kind of environment, I mean, you gotta certainly have to make hay in this environment, because it's pretty much unless you're fighting the tape, which is probably the biggest mistake you can make, you almost can't lose money in this market.
Well, that is just a crazy concept in general, but you're right, there has been just a wide range of sectors that have continued to move higher, and that whole rotation theme has been very prevalent in this market really for over or about a year now, especially. But Dana, in terms of timing, We do usually see markets melt up after elections. There's a certain uncertainty that is then removed from traders' minds. And this election has really been drawn out. So I guess that certainty is, or uncertainty has slowly been removed from traders' minds. But look, sentiment is overly bullish. And some of the moves, some of the valuations are astronomical. What do you think, or what are you watching to give you some signs that a correction might be coming? And to that point, how worried do we need to be about a quick, fast correction that could wash out a lot of value in a lot of different sectors?
Right. I think we've been concerned a little bit, minor red flags about market sentiment, overly bullish sentiment, as we've talked about probably for the last month or so. But as we've often mentioned, you know, sentiment can be helpful at extremes, but the market can roll right over sentiment for an extended period of time, like other divergences in the market. I mean, if you have enough momentum, enough liquidity, you can roll right through those sentiment extremes for a while, and that's what we've been doing. Now, I will say, in areas like put to call ratios, like options market, some of the trading in inverse funds, some of the hedging activity that has been on that on the edge of a red flag area, warning signs. It has taken another jump to like DEFCON 5 levels. We're at serious alarm bells readings in many of those areas. So in a momentum filled market like this one that you said has seen so much speculation, so much overvaluation, you're going to need to see those DEFCON 5 type sentiment readings to produce some sort of a catalyst for a reset or a correction. And perhaps we're starting to see that now. I will say probably the most important thing is that given the foundation, the foundation of the market internals, the breadth of stocks performing, the breadth of market segments that are in constructive technical position, any sell-off, any correction now should still be a buying opportunity, should not lead to a major quote-unquote market top. It should be just a normal pullback, correction, reset in the market, and should presumably lead to a very good buying opportunity, at least another good solid leg up in market. Again, given the breadth and the amount of participation in the equity market, not just in the U.S., but around the globe.
Well, and around the globe, that's another distinction, is that emerging markets, other international markets are also moving higher too. Dana, what are some of the sectors that you're focused on right now where you see money either starting to rotate into or you think have a good opportunity of continuing to move higher, bouncing off of some maybe short-term corrections?
Sure. I mean, it's hard for me to even like narrow it down because there's so many. But I think one theme to keep in mind is the dollar, which has obviously been washed out. I think we're nearing the point where we could get it's bounced a little bit over the last few days. I think we're nearing a point, maybe one more washout, I'm not sure, but where we get some sort of a sharp mean reversion bounce in the dollar, especially given how one-sided the positioning is in the dollar futures. So this is one potential scenario that we could see that could produce a very good opportunity. And the opportunity is not necessarily in buying in advance of that dollar bounce, but once we get whatever mean reversion bounce in the dollar, and we should see a concomitant pullback in the anti-dollar assets like maybe precious metals and miners, which have already done that a little bit. But like you mentioned, emerging markets and materials and resource-laden markets, international markets and commodities. And that pullback, that reset should be, I think, a fantastic opportunity maybe for the longer term in areas like emerging markets, some of the commodity heavy international markets and some of those materials resource type segments of the market. So that's one scenario to be on the lookout for, because a lot of those emerging markets and anti-dollar assets have just broken out or have just gotten a little bit extended, a little bit ahead of themselves, but have put themselves into the position where any pullback, any correction should be, you know, a pristine buying opportunity.
All right, Dan, I also want to talk about another position that you have had on, and that's been your short bonds play. So you have been benefiting from this general sell-off in bonds, this rise, especially in long-term yields. Do you think there's still room for bonds to move lower and yields to broadly rise?
In the short term, so our we've been short, as you know, the 30-year, the long bond, looking for our first target was about the 185 level. So we did finally break out of the recent consolidation, shot up right to that 185 or just a little bit above that 185 level, which is where we're at right now. So we took some profits, covered some of our shorts there. But this is short term. I think any pullback, we'd be looking to add back that exposure. And I would say intermediate term over the next, you know, 2 to 6 months, whatever, I think you could very well see up around 245 on the 30-year. And then beyond that, long term, I think there's a very good chance that this long, there's a long 54 to 60-year cycle in interest rates. And that's been overdue to bottom for many years. I would not be surprised that last year, you know, last March was the low in this long bull market that's been in place for about, you know, almost 40 years in the bond market. And that rates generally head higher for the next, you know, several decades if it follows the historic pattern, the historic cycle of interest rates, which has been in place for hundreds of years. So short term, we hit our first mark. Intermediate term, yeah, we could go certainly a bunch higher, and long term, much, much higher.
What does that mean for the overall health of the markets, though? Because this whole narrative, or at least some of the main narrative as to why the markets continue to move higher, it's really twofold: continuous money printing and forever low interest rates. Higher interest rates throws that on its head.
Yeah, you would think, and we'll deal with that when it comes to it. But we're not ones to mess too much with the quote unquote inner market analysis. We don't try to outsmart ourselves. Like, we try to listen to our models, our indicators, and judge each market on its own merits. And lately, you know, interest rates have been going up, but stocks have been going up. at least it hasn't reached that tipping point, I guess, where it's too detrimental for stock investors, or else we wouldn't be seeing that, you know, the type of stock appreciation that we're still seeing. So we'll worry about that when we start to get signs that there is a potential turn in the equity markets. But for now, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we'll continue on the trends that are in place.
I think that's a perfect way to end this interview. Thank you very much for your time, Dan. I will post a link to your website so everyone can follow along with some more of your market thoughts and some more of your trading strategies. Thanks for your time, Dan. Chat with you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.